Maybe some Open Championship bets. 1 week away, 1 week and a day away from the Open Championship, golf's fourth and final major. Looking forward to that. How much Tiger Woods has he added since the last time we spoke to him? Brady just keeps on adding Tiger Woods. Real quick here, momentarily, we're going to talk to Captain Jack Andrews. Captain Jack on the state of sports betting in the near future. Before we get to Captain Jack, because I'm looking forward to that conversation. Apparently, he showered for this, he said on Twitter. So that's excellent. I don't know if he shaved, but he showered. I might have bet on a summer league game last night, Jeff. I might have done that. We have to look over these summer league rosters. Like, some of these teams are kind of stacked. I know. I'm betting on summer league. Something's wrong with me. Women's side of the semifinals at Wimbledon. We didn't have any plays today, but Simona Halep just destroys Amanda Anisimova in straights. And Elena Rybakina gets past Aya Tomjanovic to get to the semis there as well. Been quietly adding some Halep futures yesterday. Drew was talking about how he thought Anshabor would be about a minus 150 favorite. Well, he said his numbers said minus 150 favorite in a final. Those two on a collision course. I do not believe that for a second. I think Halep is actually the favorite in this tournament. Should be by my numbers. So we'll see. Looks like a collision course there at the end. Let us bring in Captain Jack Andrews. For those who are not familiar, he is, by my count, or not by my count, but my estimation, the commissioner of sports betting, lifelong term. Captain Jack, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Gil. Good to talk to you this morning.
Good to talk to you. First of all, thank you for showering. We appreciate that. Secondly,
I try.
You are, before we get into what we're here to talk about, you are the co-founder, along with Rufus Peabody, of Unabated. How's all that going? And for those who are unfamiliar with what Unabated is, maybe you could do a better job than Rufus can it explain it in 30 seconds or less.
Sure. Unabated is a tools and resources site for aspirational sports bettors, people that want to take their game to the next level. We're here to provide certain tools, calculators, resources, a very fast odds screen, educational resources such as videos on how to create models for sports bettors, things like that. And we've been in operation for about a year now, and so far so good. We're growing. We have some new things coming out on the site just about every week. In fact, there's some new releases today, and I think it's a good resource for anyone that wants to try to raise their game.
Unabated.com or CapJack2000 if you want more information on Unabated. So it's going as well as you can expect at this point. You're happy with the progress.
Absolutely, yes. Very happy. Even in the dog days of the middle of summer, it's still providing some value for people.
Well, it is the dog days of the middle of summer. For goodness sakes, I just said I bet on a summer league game last night. So clearly, it is the dog days of July. And so it's a good time as any, because once we get into football, we don't have time to stop and think about stuff. It's as good a time as any to sort of reflect on where we are sports betting wise, state of the industry here in the United States. Some 4 years now, 4+ years after PASPA was ruled unconstitutional by the Supreme Court of the United States. And so you, 2 days ago, you know, this caught my attention. You just sort of went on a Twitter thread of sorts. I think you had 8 consecutive tweets. And the first of which was, I've been away from sports betting for a week plus, needed a bit of vacation, some reflections as I get ready to tackle the second half of 2022. Well, that was actually the one that was the precursor to your tweets. But the first one is sort of the macro statement. And I'm curious if we could just talk about this in and of itself for a second is, and we can switch to this one, guys. I'm bullish. This is you talking now on Twitter. This is you tweeting. I'm bullish on what is happening in the industry. In short, the current model is failing, and that's good. The softbook recreational model is proving to be too hard to keep afloat. Books are realizing bookmaking requires talent. Let me ask you about the first part of that. What's the what is the evidence that you are basing that on, where you are saying very confidently the softbook recreational model is proving to be too hard to keep afloat?
Profitability. We still don't have any sportsbook brand that is fully profitable in the U.S. yet, in terms of the new wave. Obviously, the established old guard in Vegas, they're profitable for their operators, but when it comes to the new domestic books, they're just not profitable. They're spending more on marketing than they are on they are receiving in revenue, and what that kind of leads to is they all expected to be doing this. None of them expected to be profitable right away, but we're seeing some of them start to drop out of the industry now. In various states, we're seeing sports books decide, okay, we're out. We're going to sell our license, or we're going to fold into somebody else, or we're going to look to be acquired by somebody else. And at this point, that recreational model of we just want the softest customer possible is starting to show that it just has some flaws to it in terms of sustainability.
Yeah, I should have asked that at the front. Soft book model, meaning if you are going to be a successful bettor, or here's the real sort of funny part about that, Jack. If we think, whether correctly or incorrectly, that you're going to be a successful bettor, we purge you and we just want the softest type of bettor possible. Because that's an issue too, right? That they don't even really have the best profiling technique going in the first place.
Right. The baby is being thrown out with the bathwater in many respects around the industry. You know, if we had a distribution curve, a bell curve of sports bettors, we'd see that the peak of that curve is a bettor that loses probably around 4 to 6%. That's the rate they lose at, which is not great. But that's the kind of the peak of the curve. And then to the far end is the area that a lot of these books want to appeal to. They want these bettors that are losing at a rate of 10, 15, 20%. They think that that's what they need to get out of them. And organically, sports betting just doesn't work that way. Your viewers know this. You look for the best line. You look for the best number to lower the synthetic hold of the sports book. And often you can lose less this way. And sports books don't want that. They want to find the bettors that are losing 10 to 20%. And in order for them to get those bettors, they need to push products that have a high hold, that the sports bettor doesn't realize what a disadvantage they're betting into. And that's how they can achieve those double-digit percentage revenue numbers that they're seeking.
Would you like to give one example of that? I sort of smirk because I would think I would know the obvious one, but we'll give an example of that if you would.
Well, the very popular current example is the same game parlay.
Yeah.
And on the surface, it looks like a great deal for the bettor because you're betting into correlated events. But beneath the surface, you don't realize that they've taken into account the correlation of those events, and they've adjusted the payout dramatically to the point where it's extra padding in there. And in some instances, some of these sports books are holding 20 to 30% on same game parlays. And that's pretty damaging to anyone's bankroll. You can't exist betting into a 20 to 30% hold, no matter how good you are, and have any kind of sustainability in your bankroll. And so as a result, they're kind of just churning through a lot of these new sports bettors that are losing at a precipitous rate. And the sustainable customer, the customer that's probably listening to this show right now, is sort of like pushed aside and often countermeasured because they feel like, well, that's not the customer we really want to appeal to.
Yeah. I always say with that, you know, with the same game parlay too, I do allow for this. Sometimes I think, Jack, that people like you, people like me, we're too close to the sun on this, and that most sports bettors are still just there for entertainment, right? And so if the response to that is, hey, look, I know that I'm getting the worst of the odds on a same game parlay, I'm aware of that I should be getting more bang for my buck, I just want the opportunity to bet it, I actually accept that answer, right? Can we allow for that? Like, it's like, okay, if you know what you're getting into, then that's one thing. But as long as you know, that's the thing. And I don't know what percentage of people actually know.
True. And I agree with you there, Gil. The only counterpoint I would make to that is there's something about the American spirit of when we try to beat something, we try to beat it. Like, yeah, we don't just do it for entertainment purposes. You know, it's, you can see it all over casinos, right? People try to beat casinos. They don't go there. They go, ah, this is just entertainment. I know I'm going to lose. La-di-da. No, they try to work up their systems, as flawed as they may be. They try to figure out ways they can get the edge. Now, some of them try harder than others, but in all instances, it's sort of that American spirit that if somebody says, look, if you want to pick yourself up from the bootstraps and get ahead here, you can do it, you can make it. And that's what a lot of these sports books sell us, right? They're selling us the idea of winning. And as a result, there's a lot of people that are trying to win. And in doing so, they may be betting more seriously than just that entertainment $5.
That's fair enough. That is a good point, counterpoint to the point to the, or I should say counterpoint to the counterpoint of the original point. Your second one says, I know of more sharp model books coming online in the next 6 months than recreational books, far more. Let's just take that half of that. Really? That's great.
Definitely. Well, definitely. And here's the point. Why, if you're a new operator, would you want to try to compete with all of the hundreds of millions of dollars being spent by the big conglomerate of sports books out there? No, you'd want to try to carve out a new niche, carve out your own way of getting to the market. And I think there's a lot of people that are entering this market with that idea of, in mind of, let's go after a different type of consumer. Let's go after maybe this smarter consumer.
That sounds great to me. We'll get to more of Jack on the other side, one more segment, because he's got a bunch more of these tweets, each of which is pretty fascinating. Captain Jack Andrews on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, the BetMGM Sports app. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today. We'll take you but a few seconds, and then you stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. And want to send a shout-out again to Jeff Stoneback, who is into retirement, who ran things at BetMGM, who's on the way to Europe to follow the dead around, the Grateful Dead. Good on Stoneback. Whatever you want to do. Skill Alexander, Captain Jack Andrews, the commissioner of sports betting, kind enough to join us again this morning at CapJack2000, co-founder of Unabated, along with his buddy Rufus Peabody. So again, where we left off, again, just sort of a state of the sports betting industry here for a few moments this morning. The latest tweet here that we were just talking about, I know of more sharp model books coming online in the next 6 months than recreational books, far more. Plus, there are signs that soft books now realize they need to compete on price, not promo. What I love about these, Jack, is it's like you had a meeting of the minds with the higher court of sports betting, and then you know these things. That's great news to me. I would not have expected that far more sharp model books are coming. You're talking about nationwide or in certain states? What are you talking about there?
Well, it's going to have to go state by state, of course, with the current state of regulation. But yes, and there are some big names coming. And I am privy to some information that I get from people that want to, you know, reach out and kind of get my ear on how things are going to go and what they're doing. And so I do get some inside information like that. But they're coming, and they're coming soon. And look, I'm in New Jersey, and New Jersey's always been a state that a lot of books try to break into because it's a tough regulatory state, and they can then use that as a stamp of approval going into other states. So, yes, there are some coming into New Jersey in the coming weeks. Okay. And names. And to that point, Gil, it's not just New Jersey, though. You need to have market access, right? And we have seen from some of these operators that they're getting market access deals because they're different. In other words, if I own market access in Louisiana and I see that all of the books are the same flavor, they're all the soft book model, well, then maybe it behooves me to partner with somebody who's going to come in and try to get a different segment of the audience, a different vertical. And that's what's allowing a lot of these market access deals to kind of open up for some of these smaller operators that aren't going to be doing the blitz of marketing. They're going to be doing the blitz of, we're going to have the best price. We're going to take your action. We're going to do sports betting the way it should be done. And I think it's going to work well, and it'll pop up in various states.
Various states. Well, that was my question. Not nationwide, meaning literal, but is it a bunch in like one or two states, or is it, you know, in varied states around the country? Maybe an exchange will pop up, or who knows? We'll see. More from Captain Jack's sort of tweet storm here from a couple days ago. After 4 years, we've reached the pivot point where U.S. sports betting diverges from all we've seen in Europe and Australia. This is where we prove wrong everyone who has claimed. This is where we prove wrong everyone who has claimed that the U.S. is a $5-$10 better world of lemmings who can be led to a cliff. From your lips to God, Captain Jack. Here's the next one also, just to get to the so roll through these because we have limited time. But here's another one. You can comment on these two together. But the next one, the consumer's evolving faster than it has elsewhere because sports betting has been prevalent in the U.S. for 50-plus years. Last NFL season was probably the peak for promos. This year will be the rise of the superior product offering, in-game micro-betting creativity. Well, now that's interesting. So what you're saying is that's an interesting shift because the promos, think about how many people we talk to here on air, off air, you, me, whoever, talk about, wow, I really take advantage of these promos. Crack comes in here every week. Oh, there's this great promo in this state and that state. You're saying that's going to sort of change a little.
It's going to start to dry up, Gil. And I'm not saying that it should go away. In fact, I would encourage anyone who watches your show to take advantage of all the promos you can. They're not going to last forever. They're a marketing expense. Take advantage of that. That marketing dollar is your dollar that you can grab and continue to do so as much as you can. Attack these soft books as much as you want. It's definitely beneficial to the aspirational sports bettor to grab the money, grab the low-hanging fruit wherever they can. What I am saying is that we've seen an evolution in Nevada, actually. So, you know, being in Nevada, there's not sign-up promos everywhere for these books. And when there are, they're maybe $25, $50 or something like that. They're not the $500 or $1,000. And it's because the Nevada consumer is a lot smarter. They've been around longer. They kind of know how the game works. And they're more attracted to price differential, you know, a sports book offering minus 105 on Fridays and things like that. That's the sort of thing that gets people in the door in Nevada to bet. And that's what I think a lot of sports books are going to start doing elsewhere in the country. They're going to start saying, okay, you know, we offer reduced juice. That gets people in the door. And yes, it gets in sharper action, but we can then use that sharper action to shape our lines. Odds boosts are very popular. That's sort of a crossover between promo and price. In other words, you know it's a promo, it's a ridiculously good price, but at the same time, you're drawn to the price, and you're making your expected value through the price. I think that's going to be the large theme of where the industry is going, is we get these sharper books in that know how to use the sharp action. They can compete with price, and it doesn't cost them nearly as much because they get a lot of information in return. And then as a result, the consumer benefits, the book benefits, the states benefit from increased revenue numbers where they don't have promotional spend being deducted out. It's a win-win-win for everyone. And that's why I think the sharp model is not a bad thing to happen to the industry.
Couple more here, and this one actually goes on to a sort of just flesh out what you said before. Bettors, if you previously made your money picking off promos, it's time to evolve. The planet is cooling. Don't be a dinosaur. Excellent emoji recognition on my part. This isn't as bad as you think. Sports betting is still juicy. You just have to work a little harder. And here's your next one. Again, just a few more of these. All fascinating on the state of the industry right now. Back when single-deck blackjack went away, short-sighted card counters lamented the death of card counting. However, smart players realized the profits were still there. They just needed to put more time in to make it happen. Same now with betting. So kind of what you're saying is that, you know, you must evolve. You must always evolve with all of this.
Absolutely. And it's not as if the low-hanging fruit was the only fruit on the tree. You're just going to have to reach a little higher. And there are various ways to do so. And you can use odd screens and kind of shop for pricing inefficiencies. You can do your own pricing analysis. You know, you just have to put a little bit of work in. It's not going to be as easy as I'm just going to go sign up and get $1,000 from this sports book. It'll be a little bit more work. But I think the average sports bettor, when they really get into sports betting, they enjoy the work. They enjoy the process of this all. That's sort of why we do what we do. And I don't think it's a bad thing to tell people, like, hey, wake up. You need to evolve now and start getting on your process and start, you know, going whatever you need to do to be a sharper sports bettor and pursue it. And I think that's helping them a great deal in the process. So I'm hoping that a lot of people do that sort of thing and evolve, because the industry is going to change, and they need to be ready for what comes next.
Here's the last couple of these, and I think, again, some of these I always, you know, a lot of them I'm fascinated by because they surprise me. A lot of them I question. This is the last one, actually. It says, operators, there's still a huge underserved market of bettors with sustainable bankrolls that make up the meaty middle of the consumer distribution. They'll finally soon have sports books to play at. You should keep an eye on these numbers. This is the real market. So what you're saying is it's not the lemmings, it's not the super duper sharp. There's this meaty middle in the middle of it all that bookmakers should be focused on. But Jack, so the cynic in me then would say back to you, I'd be like, what do you really think? Like the bookmakers listening to that, what percentage of them do you think really take that to heart?
That's a good question, Gil. I don't know how many of them really want to pursue that meaty middle. They're scared of the meaty middle. And when I call that the meaty middle, which I've probably said that word too many times already, it's the player that, you know, may lose less than their desired hold percentage. They may lose only 2% because they're doing line shopping and they're lowering their synthetic hold. Or it might be the player that can win a couple percentage points off of the sports book over time, whether that be in main markets or through minor sports markets. And that scares a lot of operators to have to deal to that customer because they know they're not the super sharp ones that think they can get the information from. They're more of the sustainable customer. But that customer is not going to go anywhere. That customer is going to continue to bet time and time again. And yes, your hold is going to be a little bit lower when dealing to these customers. But at the same time, those customers are going to be around forever. They've got sustainable bankrolls. They like this whole process. They're going to be the ones that drive your overall handle numbers up, which then makes your revenue numbers higher just based on the increased handle.
Jack, really appreciate it, man. And I mean this, like the industry is a better place for having you there. Really, and I know I call you the commissioner of it. I hope you take that in the proper spirit. I mean it as a huge compliment. It's great to just sort of get your thoughts every so often. So we appreciate you making the time, man.
Thanks, Gil. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Captain Jack Anders, everybody, at CapJack2000, unabated.com. where you can find what he and Rufus are working on a daily basis. Great stuff there. Coming back, Josh Towers on all Major League Baseball awards. We'll get his thoughts. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $19, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of the month. Sign up today. You'll get VSiN's daily best bets, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, NFL preseason coverage, premium articles on golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. If you want the full VSiN experience, which features a daily best bets email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it. The cost is only $19 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Nick Kyrgios got broken his first service game of this match, this quarterfinal match against Cristian Garin of Chile. Now, there's nothing in any numbers that suggests that Kyrgios should lose to Cristian Garin on this surface. And this is way early. But let me just say this, Jeff. This has the seeds anyway now of a complete meltdown mode if this continues.
I mean, if Garin wins this point, there'll be 0 points won through two games for Kyrgios. So
way early,
very early.
Anything can happen.
But we know the explosive nature of Nick Kyrgios.
He's already screaming at people, so this could be fun. And by fun, I mean an absolute ridiculous thing to watch. Josh Towers joins us, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say that again. Josh Towers from VSiN, who of course former Major League Baseball pitcher, on the weekend on the run line. How you doing, Josh?
I'm good. Hey, isn't that what fun is? Ridiculous stuff.
Oh, man. It is oftentimes his matches, and I am not involved in this match because I thought it was priced correctly. But with Nick Kyrgios, you know when you're backing him, God help you, and you know when you're fading him, it could be the most awesome thing in the world because you could see him just melt down before your very eyes. But we'll see. We'll see. It's early.
We'll see.
Yeah, very early. Now
I love it.
I sent you a bunch of award numbers. Did you peruse those, Mr. Towers?
Yeah, once I woke up, I definitely did.
It's very rude of me to set in the middle of it.
You weren't the only one texting me at 5:30 in the morning.
I always forget that I'm not that not everybody is awake. All right, let's start with the big ones. Let's start with MVP. Let's start with American League. Aaron Judge still -130. Shohei +260.
So happy.
Mike Trout.
He started with this.
Oh, yeah. Mike Trout +750. Now, look, Yordan, who is quickly moving up the home run charts towards Aaron Judge. By the way, Jordan threw out somebody from left field last night too. The DH made a great defensive play last night too. Jordan's 12-1. Down further on the list, someone like Byron Buxton, who goes on these home run spurts and no one ever notices, 66-1. But let's go to the top here. I mean, the obvious question, should Aaron Judge be minus 130? Come on now.
No, stop. Listen, this is why I love this stuff, and this is why it's so hard during the season to really jump on different things. I thought Jordan Alvarez was going to win MVP pre-flop. I just like this kid. I think he's coming into his own. And to be honest with you, we haven't even really seen him good yet. It's always going to be a challenge. Everybody on who listens to our shows knows that with me, it's impossible to beat Shohei Ohtani for MVP. I know we're used to it. Guys make all these awesome plays, and to us it just comes routine because that's all we see, and we act like it's easy. What Shohei Ohtani's doing is on another level. He should be in his own again, as you know, Barry Bonds league. It's just different. Mm-hmm. Aaron Judge has hit 124 since June 24th. So you better be careful on how long you hit that skid, young man, if you want to win MVP. His start to his season has been awesome. He's on top of the charts with a lot of stuff. But you don't go on 2-3 week. You don't go on month benders of hitting 100 and think it's going to prolong for 6 months when you've got all these other guys that are doing great. So the Aaron Judge at a minus thing, there's just no chance you can take that now.
I couldn't agree more with everything you said right there. Now, the only question becomes, are you so in it? Because I am, right, with Ohtani. Are you so an Ohtani believer that you wouldn't take a flyer on Jordan at 12-1? You would not?
No, I would. I think these stats are, sorry, these numbers, because we really don't know what's going to happen. If I can get, very respectfully high-priced numbers like that, and I have a couple guys in the stable, I like it. But, when you're asking me, again, on Judge to lay 110 or when Shohei gets down to even, it's tough at that point because there's no guarantees. But, again, I just personally don't see how – a healthy all season Shohei Ohtani and what he's doing on the mound and offensively, it's getting a little bit better. I just don't understand how he cannot win it.
Yeah, I'm with you. NL MVP. Mm-hmm. As we will rifle through these because we want to get to all of them with Josh on the air here. NL MVP, Paul Goldschmidt, minus 110 now. Goldschmidt has quietly, become the favorite here over time. We were talking about it on Primetime Action as long as a month ago, where it's look at what Goldschmidt's doing. Alonso 5-1, Manny Machado, who was the favorite, now plus 550, and a trio of Dodgers next in double digits, Betts, Turner, Freeman. What do you like? And then there's the Acuñas of the world who are 30-1. My goodness, never thought you'd get a price on him like that. But Goldschmidt should be the favorite, shouldn't he?
Oh, 100. If Bryce Harper didn't get hurt, I think Bryce was going to walk away at this at some point. But now that he's hurt, we have to cross him off. Paul's very reliable and obviously very comfortable now in St. Louis, and his numbers are off the charts. It's tough when you look at let's say Pete Alonso, when you're talking about him hitting 272, which is very respectful for today's game, but that's 70 points lower than Paul Goldschmidt. So you got to throw out the home runs and stuff like that. You got obviously all the Dodgers guys, those guys are always going to be there. I don't think Trey Turner ever gets enough respect for how good he is as an all-around player. I don't know what he'll have to do to to really inflate his numbers to win it. Cause I think Trey Turner, if I had the first pick in a draft, I'm taking Trey to start my team with. But at this point it's Paul Goldschmidt, but again, you're talking about even money, but it's the separation is not even close right now. He's the only dude with, 100 hits. He's hitting 340. No one's even close. What he's doing right now is pretty impressive.
Let's go to the next. Get Josh Towers' thoughts on this at No Don't Josh on the Twitter machine if you want to follow Josh's baseball comments and beyond. AL Cy Young, Shane McClanahan plus 250, Verlander plus 275. You don't have to belabor this because we talked about it, I think, last week. Shohei's 12-1. What do you like here?
Again, currently it would be Shane McClanahan. He took this next step into baseball eliteness that it's just incredible. But I don't think Kevin Cash is going to allow him to go seven the rest of the season. They don't really have starting pitching, and he's almost at his innings total for his career, right? So I feel at some point it's not going to be his ability that regresses. It's going to be his opportunity to pitch to do enough to continue to have this award. And then you got Justin Verlander, it's not a bad price. I think Garrett Cole's still a good price. Alex Manoah, it's a little tougher for me to trust that. Again, second-year kid, and he's carrying the weight of Toronto because, you know, you say Berrios aren't doing his job. But, I mean, flyers on Garrett, flyers on JB. I don't mind if you have a decent number on McClanahan's stash, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, as much as I would love to see him win it, I just think it's going to be tough.
Yeah, so no long-shot bet there at all is what you're saying.
Well, I think that, like, it's the way Framber Valdez is pitching. Like, I wouldn't mind stashing a ticket on him.
Okay. NL Cy Young, Sandy Alcantara plus 160, Corbin Burns and Joe Musgrove both at 5-1. And then Tony Gonsolin, who's my, you know, if you've listened to this show, kind of my, I wouldn't call it the crusade, but it's sort of like he has this win-loss record, right, 10-0. If that continues, it's going to be hard to ignore 10-1. As much as we, analytics-wise, don't care about wins, losses, at some point it matters, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Yes, we do. Cross him off.
Cross him off.
I love what Tony Gonsolin's doing. He's a winner. He's always been a winner, man. I'm telling you, go back and look at his career minor league stats. The kid flat out can pitch. He's 40-something innings below Sandy Alcantara. He's 30 strikeouts below Sandy Alcantara. Like, it's not – like, there's just certain things that you have to add into the equation. And you look at Sandy's last 11 starts – three have been zero runs. I think three have been one run. Three have been two runs. There's a four in there that he had a bad day when he went 7+ versus the Cardinals. It's the only bad day he's ever had. I'll take that every day of my starting career. Sandy Alcantara is on Jacob DeGrom mode right now, and it's just dumb. And every year we've seen Sandy get better and better and longer and longer. And, like, currently right now, Sandy Alcantara is walking away with this. It's not even close.
All right, we got three more of these, Josh. I'm going to need one name answers from you on these to get them all in, okay? You ready? Rapid fire coming.
Let's go.
All right. What's next, gentlemen? We have the rookie of the year. Is that what's next on the screen? Anytime, guys.
No. Julio.
AL Julio. He's minus two something. Definitely Julio.
Julio's minus 275 now.
Minus 275. Yeah.
You had him plus 550 not too long ago. I kind of messed that up.
some people think Julio, like, some people think Julio should be getting MVP consideration, by the way. That's how good that's going. NL Rookie of the Year. What's the favorite there, Jeffrey?
So right now at BetMGM, Michael Harris is plus 350, O'Neill Cruz plus 375, Strider 5-1.
Okay. All right, we got to get him in. All right, so Harris or anybody else there?
I mean, currently it's Harris. O'Neill Cruz, I just don't understand how you come up halfway through the season and you can win Rookie of the Year, but I know we've kind of seen it before. Nolan Gorman's in the mix as well. I think some of the other guys are – it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
And finally, home run lead.
Uh-oh.
Aaron Judge odds on right now.
You can get Alvarez
at – I have no idea what the home run – yeah, I don't even have a name for you.
Okay, you can get Alvarez at like 7-1 at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I don't know. I might take a shot at that. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it.
Thanks, boys. I'll talk to you.
Some NFL talk right here in studio next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Turn a loss into a win with the King of Sportsbooks. Place a one-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any Major League Baseball game, and if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back and free bets up to $25. Log into your account or download the app and sign up with BetMGM to take advantage of the offer all season long. Just opt into the one-game parlay insurance promotion, then place a one-game parlay wager with four legs or more on any Major League Baseball game. If you miss only one leg on your wager, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada, New York, or Washington, D.C. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. Nick Kyrgios breaking back. Against Christian Garin. And Taylor Fritz up a break, about to win a set. First set on Rafa Nadal. Taylor Fritz proving to be Rafa's kryptonite here. Beat him at Indian Wells. And now about to take a 1-0 lead on him here at Wimbledon in the quarterfinals. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Jeff, do you plan on betting any NBA Summer League when it starts here tomorrow in Las Vegas?
Do I plan on betting any of it? No. Will I end up with a bet or two on it? Probably.
Let me ask it.
That's usually how that works out.
Let me ask it a different way.
Okay.
if you happen to go to the arena and there's any, and for those who are about to say, oh my God, you do this? Yes, we do this. If you go to the arena and you see that live, you're ahead of the sportsbook feeds, might you bet it that way?
I would have to see who's actually dishing that.
Those opportunities, by the way, are fewer and fewer.
It's very rare.
Yeah.
It's very, very rare.
The feeds are super good now.
Yeah. They're usually on point. Exactly. Yeah. But, in the past, not a lot of places would, if any places would dish in-game on Summer League, but now.
Oh, they would.
Now there are places that do. But, again, we're also in 1975 here, Gil.
They used to dish them out, but the feeds that they have now, they're in bed with the leagues, the books are. So their feeds are super, super on point. But the reason I bring this up is because last night I actually made a Summer League bet in Utah between OKC and the Jazz. And this came up. I wasn't planning on it. I didn't start my day planning on doing this. But a buddy of mine sent me and a friend on a three-way. He's like, how bad is the Wizards Summer League roster? And sure enough, it was, right? Just poking fun of our hometown Wizards. And then I just decided, I said, let me go ahead and look at the comparison of these Summer League rosters compared to how bad the Wizards is. And so it was so clear, right? When you look at who's coming to Vegas and who's, in some cases, been playing in Summer League in Utah, the Warriors are going to have Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman, and Baldwin, their first-round pick. That's pretty tough to beat. The Hawks are going to have Akinjo, Ayayi, and Griffin, A.J. Griffin from Duke. Pistons, who play tomorrow night, they're going to have Cade Cunningham, Sadiq Bey, Jalen Duren, and Jaden Ivey. That's a pretty good team to go out and see tomorrow night. Rockets are going to have Jabari Smith and Ty Ty. Phoenix is going to have a bunch of international ringers. The Phoenix Suns Summer League team is a bunch of European all-stars. So they're the team that we can't really gauge. They're playing Summer League a little differently. But then the team that stood out was OKC. When you just looked at the rosters yesterday, Giddy, Holmgren, Jalen Williams. And so immediately I was like, oh, and OKC plays tonight? Who are they playing? I was like, I think I'm going to make a bet on OKC and see how this goes. Small bet, right? I didn't do anything special. Really small bet. But just to have a little action going. And Chet Holmgren yesterday, and let me just say it again. I'm not overreacting to Summer League, but you have to say something. Chet Holmgren yesterday, 23 points, Jeff, 7 of 9 from the field, 4 of 6 from behind the arc, 7 boards, 4 assists, 1 steal, and a Summer League record 6 blocked shots, plus 26. 13 points in the first 9 minutes, including 3 for 4 from behind the arc. Giddy, 14 points, 11 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals. He did have 4 turnovers. He was plus 22. And Jalen Williams, who I was saying before the draft, this is the steal of the draft, 17 points on 8 of 11, 5 boards. Anyway, got home, and I'm just saying, it's the dead of summer. Are you really not going to bet on some of these games? I think you might.
One question for you.
Yeah.
Why is Josh Giddey playing in these games?
It's a great question.
Why? What is the point from Oklahoma City to have a guy who we know is good in the NBA playing in the Summer League? Like, why are we bothering?
It may prove to be an awesome strategy, though.
Could be, but because we very rarely see this.
But confidence is a big deal in basketball, as it is in any sport. And if you have Giddey sort of dishing to these guys, It can only be a positive, right? Obviously, an injury.
Assuming he doesn't get hurt, yeah.
Obviously, an injury would be the only thing that would go against that. But, yeah, it's an interesting strategy. So, Oklahoma City, certainly fun to watch. Anyway, just thought I'd point that out because if you're asking, what did you bet on last night? Yeah, I'm sorry, bet on a Summer League game. Sue me. Will I bet on more coming up here in the next week or so? Summer League starts tomorrow, goes for 10 days here in Las Vegas. Phoenix will be interesting, though, because a bunch of international players. All right, we've been doing NFL props all sort of month long, would you say? We got more. Serve up some new ones. There is no shortage of what you can bet on in the NFL here, even in the dead of summer. What do you got next, Jeff?
Well, I guess we're going to start with the yearly occurrence of a prop that always is priced strangely.
Okay.
Which is any team to go 17-0 or any team to go 0-17. Actually are yes-no markets on these, thankfully. And, Gil, this is just throw it out there. make sure that everyone realizes that this is a market you probably don't want to play. To put it nicely, no one's going 17-0 this year. League is too competitive. The question would be, Gil, because 9-1 at BetMGM is nowhere near enough for me. Would there be a line where you would say, you know what, I would take a shot on a team to go 0-17?
Yes.
Is there a line?
Yes, to answer your question, yes. Is 9-1 that line? No.
Where would that line be, do you think?
Oh, be a lot more than that. But to your point, I'd be much more willing to bet that 0-17. Like, futility is much more likely to me than a team going undefeated. For, well, one, the price stinks, right? 14-1 for a team to go 17-0. My goodness, you should be getting way better than that. But that the thing about going perfect is there's so many other non-football things working against you. Football's version of load management at some point will have to be a consideration for any team that was, let's just say, 13-0, 14-0. Chances are you've already clinched your division at that point. You're only playing for home field. And once you secure home field as the number one seed, then you legit have nothing else to play for. That could mean two or three football games at the end of a season. Would 17-0 be that important to you at that point? No. So that conspires against you too, which is why 17-0 is just ridiculous. You'd want to rest your players to some degree, even if for one game, if not two.
Well, and more importantly too, on the 17-0 part, Gil, the league is just too competitive at this point.
Right, and
it's too good.
Of course, but I'm just talking about in the rare instance that some teams, let's just say, play with me, got to 13-0 or 14-0, even then, especially when you're playing an extra game these days, right? And there's only one. And once you get that home field, now, remember the Colts the year with Peyton Manning when they just punted on when they were 14-0 and they just decided, no, we're not interested under Jim Caldwell? I think you could see that in spades now. You got one more here. We did NFL team with least regular season wins. Did we do this yesterday? I can't remember what we did.
No, we didn't do least wins.
What did we do? We did least something.
We did least scoring.
Oh, that's right. That's what we did. Least wins. I believe that would be fewest wins, by the way, for those of you who study the language. Texans 3-1, Falcons plus 350, Jets plus 650, everybody else double digits. If you look at season wins, always the correct barometer for these kinds of things, just as a hack. Texans have the lowest, right? 4.5, Falcons 5, Jets 5.5, somewhere in that pocket. So they're priced accordingly. I don't think you play a short shot here. I think you take a team like the Seahawks, right, at 10-1, and you say, that'd be fun to have in your pocket. Now, again, would I play this if we had this available? Do we have this available in Nevada? I don't think we do.
You know what? I have to check that because once we get closer to the season,
maybe we will.
A lot of these props actually do show up here.
But I'm going to probably say I wouldn't have a bet on this. But if I did, I'm not playing a short shot. I'm playing a team like the Seahawks at 10-1. Best bet on the board?
Yeah, I would say so. By the way, Gil, just going back to earlier in the week, real quick, I still can't believe that 10.5 on Carson Wentz for interceptions. We are 2 days later, and it's still stunning to me that number exists.
You bet it yet?
I haven't.
Can I quote Jeff Barley? So bet it.
Yeah, I have to do the hand.
Jeff
flick,
does though. His left hand. He throws up like this. He goes, so bet it. Go ahead and bet it, man. Okay. More of these later on the show. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke next on Baseball and Beyond. And Brady Cannon in studio on golf. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.